fight. We're fishing out on the basin for alligator walleye pike. He all brought his TV and wrote these people bread. He's told to drive a rabbit, so he comes fishing with us instead. We got long chairs.
All right, we're going to welcome you back again. This is God and Fishing, and I'm Pastor Donnie. I'm here with the legendary Fishing Frank, and we're going to try to hit up with some grouper fishing today, some things going on. And so we're going to open up a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. Heavenly gracious Father, we want to thank you again for such a glorious day, and Father, all the blessings we have in our lives. And Father, we again want to mention the water. Father, we ask you to clean that up, take away the impurities of it. Father, bless those that are out there with doing without. Father, we ask you to be with the show. Let it glorify you in all the things we do, say, and think. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Brother Frank, man. So
I'm going to throw a little bit at you about the water.
Yes, sir.
You've been talking about it a lot here because it really bothers you.
Yeah.
Now, what I'm going to suggest to you is our blood system.
Mm-hmm.
And you take the human blood system, it is almost identical to seawater, okay? Almost the exact same salinity, and I mean, it's basically almost seawater. Now, that holds true for all mammals on the planet, you know, seawater, blood. Now, when you're out by the Gulf, the bacterias and stuff in the Gulf have always been there since the beginning of time. And more people get flesh-eating bacteria in a hospital. You have MRSA virus or MRSA bacteria, you know, that MRSA stuff.
Right.
It's on you now. It's on me. It's everywhere. Mm. And kind of the same with the flesh-eating bacteria. What happens when you get this time of year, I don't go in the water. Not because there's more flesh-eating bacteria now than there is in the winter, but because, have you ever had a goldfish you put in an aquarium?
Yeah.
You get it in a little bag, right?
That's right.
And now you take that little bag and you set it on top of your aquarium, and that's to even out the water temperature so the fish does not go into shock.
Right.
So now we're literally, let's say that the Gulf temperature's below 80 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Your body's 98.6. So that's a big jump.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yep.
But now the people who get the flesh-eating bacteria at this time of year don't take into consideration that very close to shore, that seawater is over 90 degrees.
That's right.
You feel it like bathwater. You literally put your foot in it, feels
warm,
hot.
Warm, yeah.
So if you have an open sore or a cut, now knowing that seawater and blood are almost identical. So if you take that, it's a very simple transition for that bacteria to go into your bloodstream.
So people need to be listening to this. This is really eye-opening, man.
Well, it's what I call direct observation science.
Yep.
Now, you always have to be careful with direct observation science, because the Egyptians believed that the scarab bug had eternal life. Now, this is what we kind of call a dung beetle.
Yep.
This little bug pushes around with its hind legs a ball of cow manure or sheep manure or
that's
something,
right. Yep.
But it lays its eggs inside. Yep. Now, the Egyptians would see that bug die and another one crawl out of that ball of dung.
And they couldn't figure that
and
out.
And that was eternal life. That yep. bug never died. He just kept being reborn.
Yep.
So it became a very sacred bug.
Yep.
But in this case, I'm using direct observation science with what I know about the human bloodstream and seawater. Two things I, you know, kind of part of me.
So most of the threat that we've been seeing in the Gulf, all over from Mississippi, Alabama, Florida, most of that is just because the water temperature is too hot.
It's a very easy transition when you take water that's, let's say, 94 to go into your bloodstream at 98. It's a very small difference. When the Gulf is below 80 degrees, the bacteria actually goes into shock
yep.
with the hot blood. And that's why always Texas has has had accounts of the flesh-eating bacteria.
Right.
Literally, you hear about it all over the world.
You do. Hot tubs, for instance.
You know,
most of your hot tubs, anywhere you go,
That is generally where you're going to catch your flesh-eating disease. It's way too much hot water, and you shouldn't be in it.
I heard some captain on the other day lie to people. He said, well, I'm in freshwater, so there's no flesh-eating bacteria. Well, that's a lie.
Yeah, it's there, too.
He's just trying to get you to buy a charter with him so you'll feel safe.
It's any hot water, really.
Hot freshwater, hot saltwater, those bacteria live anywhere. We literally... Every person walking around has some MRSA or flesh-eating bacteria with them all the time. It's one of the reasons you encourage your kids to play in the dirt, to go outside and get messy, go fishing, hunting, get outside, be part of God's world.
Amen.
And what happens is then you're taken care of. You have the antibodies. You are protected. If you try and protect yourself from the world, you... become unprotected.
That's right. But living in these bubbles don't work, does it?
Exactly. So all I'm saying is watch out. If you put your foot in the salt water and it feels hot, this is not the time to go swimming. If you have any cuts, open abrasions, even a scab, it will go through that because it's a simple transition in temperature that doesn't go into shock and die. Most of the time, one temperature to another, just like a goldfish going into a bowl, you got to acclimate them to the water temperature.
Outstanding information, man. This is great stuff.
I just wanted to let you know that this has been going on since forever. There's probably a reason for it because, you know, you're a pastor or minister. You kind of get that we don't always get the reasons for everything.
Well, actually, God has a funny sense of humor about this stuff.
Oh, boy, that's to say the least. You know, you're the God part. I'm the fishing part here. So I'm going to go along with that old sense of humor thing.
You know, God wants to hear from you. You know what I mean? And Paul had a very interesting thing. Early on in his ministry, he was known as Saul. And he was on a road to Damascus. And on the road to Damascus, he meets Jesus face to face. Now, Jesus has already been crucified by this point, and he's risen again, and he's coming to Saul. And Saul was going around killing Christians, you know. He was doing his own thing. And so anyway,
you got to admit, I ain't that bad.
No. No, but there's a lot of them out there, man. There's a lot of them out there. And so anyway, he has this come-to-Jesus moment. He realized that he thought he was killing Christians for God. He didn't realize that that was God's people, man. You know, he was mixed up a little bit. And so
now I can say I'll go with that. I'll follow that far.
All right. So so what happened is now he's back out there and he's doing his missions, right? And so he struggled. He was a sinner just like all of us. All of us have some kind of sin in us. And so he went to God and he said, the things I should do, I don't do. But the things I'm not supposed to do, yet I do them. He said, why don't you take this from me? And God says, I won't. And you know why he wouldn't, Frank? This is awesome.
Okay. I'll bite. No pun intended.
Okay. All right. What he was doing, God says, no, I can't do that. Because if I do that, one, you're going to forget all about me. You're going to quit coming to me and getting love and affection from me, guidance from me. You're going to get too much of your own thinking, and you're going to put me away again. Think about this. When was the last time a person praised to God? 90% of the time, it's when people are in trouble. They just never go to God and say, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for not answering that prayer I had a year ago. But now they don't want to talk about
it. Now, I'm a big one for thank God for unanswered prayers.
Amen. Me too, man.
Oh, boy, I want this. I want that. I got to have that. No, you're not going to have that. And then a while later you go, okay, that was a real good thing.
Amen.
I wasn't supposed to have that. I asked you how you got into fishing, and it was kind of almost the same thing that got you into religion.
It was.
Just kind of a bad time, and fishing and religion kind of brought you together and made you kind of whole.
It was. And you know what's interesting is if people would just listen just a little bit to their inner self and find out what the Father is. You know, I'm a dad of two sons. I'm just now in a process of adopting a child. And I want to give these children a right frame of mind. I want to give them hope, you know. And so I tell them about the Father. I tell them about Jesus Christ, how he came and paid our sins. And when I was young, I didn't have that. I remember at 8 years old, I was I got an opportunity to go to church very rarely, but at 8 years old, I went to church, and I had it set in my mind. I had been reading the Bible, and I had questions. You know, everybody has questions. And so I was forced, and I went up, and I asked this pastor, and Tom was his name. And I go up, and I kind of pull on his sport jacket, you know, and I said, hey, I've got questions. I have a really bad home life. I've got drinking and drugs and all kinds of abuse going on at the house. The only thing I can do to get away is I'd go out in the woods and I'd hunt, or I'd go down by the river bend and go fish, you know, down by the creek. And that was my solitude time. You know, I couldn't be beat. I couldn't be yelled at. I couldn't be denied and refused if I wasn't around. You know what I mean? And so I found peace and comfort. I said, but, you know, when I'm out there, I'm never alone. Even if I'm by myself, even if my friends didn't get to show up that day. And he said, that's God. See, kids are born under grace. They don't have to receive it. They already get it. But at the time where they know right from wrong, then they have to decide whether they want to keep it or throw it away. And now, and that's where I was at in my life.
And that's going to bring us right into grouper fishing, because you got to decide if you're going to keep it or throw it away.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to go back to my original question.
Yeah.
What size weight would you think you need in 30 feet of water out here in the Gulf? On the average, say average tide, average conditions.
Right. The tide plays a big factor in it, and also the weight of your line. If you're using a 30-pound test line, you want to go light on your weight, because your line's so light, you don't need to over control that. So if you have a 30-pound test line, go down to your like a 1 ounce or 2 ounce line on a small rig, on a small rod. Put it down, drop it down nice and easy. It'll be good and controlled. But now sometimes we go up to 60s and 80s in our tests. Now we have to throw some extra lead out there. Maybe the current's going a little bit stronger. So we'll use 6 to 8. So it has a lot to do with your test of line that you're using, what kind of rod you're using, and then what you're fishing for. Are you fishing top water, bottom water? Where are you fishing? You
know? So the line is actually being caught by the water, kind of like a parachute effect.
That's right.
So as the current goes back, it's pushing that line away.
Yep.
And that's why you need the extra lead just to hold yourself in place.
That's right.
So about 2 ounces in 30 feet, and figure 6 and 80 feet?
Yeah, 6 to 8 and 80 feet to 100 feet of water. I never really go
now,
much
here.
More than
I'm noticing something. You're talking 2, 3, and 30 feet.
Yep.
So 3 ounces for 30 feet, 4 ounces for 40, 50 is 5 ounces, 60 is 6 ounces, 80 feet, 8 ounces. Do you think this? I mean, I've been doing this 34 years, and that's the first time I ever had that thought.
Is that right?
That's the first time it's ever come out of my mouth. I never thought of it till you were describing that.
Yeah, from my experience, and like I said, you know, it's. I came from the backwoods up here in West Virginia, and we didn't have to worry about much of that. We had a lot of plugs, and we had our floaters out, and well, we wanted to stay up on top because we didn't want to get down to rocks.
But I tell people when they're fishing in the canal, anything they do is going to the bottom.
That's right.
A weight is for distance once you get shallow water. That's so you can throw farther.
That it is, and you don't need a lot to throw it that much farther. Again, that's going to depend on your rod. If you have a small rod, like I think one of the rods we use is like a 7 to a 10, that has a lot of flex to it. So when you flip it, the flip of the rod actually sends your bait where you want it to go. You might have to put a little bit of weight on there, like one of those little split shots on there or something like that, just an itty bit of little weight to get it to where you want to go, but not much. But when we're out there grouper fishing, we want to get to the bottom. We want to get to the bottom quick because they are a fast fish. They, as soon as you get on the bottom, if you're in a grouper area, they're going to hit your line. You're not going to sit out there 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes waiting on a bite. So you want your bait to get to the bottom quick. Now, again, if you're at 30 foot of water, you're not going to catch big groupers, well, but you're going to catch small ones.
Here is one thing I usually do, and let's see how this correlates to what you do.
Right.
When I'm out there, I'm putting my big baits down first, and then as soon as I start feeling little bites, then I start dropping smaller baits, catch all the snappers, all that stuff. And once that slows down, then I drop some big baits down again. Because I find if I drop a big bait first, that big grouper might be able to see it before and heel me end over, grab that bigger one. But if it sits there for a while, then all the snappers, the grunts, the porgies, all those smaller fish come and start pecking on it.
Yep.
I got to bring that up, put some small baits on, drop back down, and I can catch those smaller fish.
Yep.
But once they're kind of done, I drop a big bait down because that big one's been sitting over there going, okay, it's kind of like listening to a whole, you know, let's say a whole bunch of other people's kids that are really annoying, and he's just kind of sitting over on the side. And once they're done, he's going to come over.
That's right. What we have found, and like, and Dad and I fish the boat together. Okay, so he's on one side of the boat, I'm on the other side of the boat, and we're going to drop two bottom leads down, and so we'll have a 6 ounce, maybe an 8 ounce, depending on our line that we're using, 60 odd or 80 odd, the weight, the test. And so we're going to drop that 6 ounce weight down or 8 ounce down, and we're going to get to the bottom quick. We just hit the hole. I want that grouper. I want that grouper to just been sitting there waiting. You can almost see him on the hilltop down there because there's like a little ledge.
So what's your favorite bait when you first get there?
My favorite bait that has really worked the most for us almost every time we go out there is squid.
All right, now, the squid when you first. You first go down, are you dropping like a whole squid?
No.
Tentacles and all? Or you're using the squid wings?
I do use the squid wings, and I cut them up about the size of my thumb. So you're talking about an inch and a half to 2 inches, and then a little bit of thickness there, about what your thumb is, okay? I don't want it to take up too much line. I don't want it to be out there for something small to come by and just peck
now,
it to death.
Do you leave a longer strip on it when you cut that? Now, when I'm doing the squid wings, I like it because it's real thick, and then right. As it tapers to the outside, it gets thin.
Yep.
I cut usually about an inch and a half wide piece of that.
Yep.
Are you cutting?
That's about your thumb. Yep.
So, I always say about 2 fingers wide or 3 fingers wide.
I got really big hands. You know. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but you cut that strip, so you got. I put the thick end on the hook and let that skinny end kind of trail out.
That's correct.
And so the whole thing's probably, I would say, 5 inches on average, a little less, a little more.
I use a little bit less than that. I use about 3 or 4.
Okay.
Just because I don't want too much slack out there. And what they're looking at is anything white, flashy, and movie. They're bottom feeders. So all as right. soon as something gets down in their face, bam, they're going to hit that.
What are you using, like a 6-aught hook?
That one's a 6-aught circle hook with probably a 6 ounce, 8 ounce, depending on how deep we are.
Now, I will tell you, I just went to ICAST, and that really the only reason I went this year was because I had to design some new hooks with VMC.
Yep.
And got some awesome hooks on the way. I'll get the prototypes, and I will let you test my prototypes for me.
Definitely.
Because VMC needed a new line of circle hooks to match up with some of the laws and everything else.
Yep.
Their stuff was not really for this market.
Right.
And so I got together with them, and we're designing new circle hooks specifically for the Gulf, specifically for sharks,
right.
Goliath grouper. We've got hooks coming for these. And they're nice because you're going to be able to put a nice size chunk of bait on them.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. It's got a really... a lot of room between the shank and where that tip bends in.
That's right.
It's going to be a big hook. And so it's going to be kind of neat having that hook. And
so, yeah, one of the things you got to know about grouper is you're on a hard bottom, okay? So it means it's rock, it's coral down there and stuff like that. So you want a little bit of weight to hang over and a hook that'll kind of hold on to that. But you don't want something that's going to grab onto that coral. You know, that's what those circle hooks are for. The actual sharp end of the hook is actually curled back so you can't bite into those rocks, those corals. When we first went out there, the hooks that we were using, we were getting hung up big time on the corals. We were losing a lot of rigs because we was getting hung up in rocks. And so we went to a different hook. Now, some of the we'll go down to a 4-aught. Oftentimes, we found that if you go down to 4-aught, you can attack more fish. 6 and 8, you can get the big groupers, but there's other fish down there. So we'll drop down to a 4-ounce or a 4-aught hook. And so that's kind of how we play with it a little bit. Now, again, we'll throw out our squid. We drop them down on the bottom. Now, the rods that we use, the reels that we use, they have the break on it, the little clickers. We let those click themselves down to the bottom. Meanwhile, we take our other smaller line. We put us a smaller pieces of meat on there, very small pieces of meat, just big enough to go on the hook. They hide the hook, and that's it. And we'll throw that
now,
down.
On those, are you using like a 2-aught, 3-aught hook?
Sometimes one, sometimes two. We never go three.
Okay.
We're looking for bait fish. We're looking for the little lane snappers going by. We're looking for the little squirrel fish. We call them squirrel fish.
The ones that I eat.
Yeah.
I guess I got to learn to catch bigger fish. But
we eat those too, and that's what we're targeting. We're wanting a small fish. They got smallmouths. Flounders are out there, and so there's a lot of fish out there that has a smaller mouth, and we don't want to jerk this thing out of the mouth. So we're actually targeting two fish per each every drop, and so the big rod's just sitting there waiting to go, and we got it on the small little striking deal.
All right, now you're out there fishing. I'm going to bring the God back into this. Yeah. What's your favorite prayer when you're not catching fish?
You know, honestly, I want to tell you something. That's the best time to talk to God when nothing else is going on. That's a one-on-one time that you can talk to the Father. You know, we all have parents. We have children. And what we want to do is we want to hear from our children. Or sometimes, you know, vice versa, our children wants to hear from us. Well, that's God our Father. He created us. He said he knew us before we were even born. All this argument about, you know, the abortion stuff and all that, I'm against all that. I believe life started even before you were placed in that womb, because he said he knew you before then. And so when I'm by myself, I want to talk to him. I want to let him know. That's what we were talking about earlier with Paul. He was like, you know, I want you to take these infirmities away from me. And God says, no, I don't want to do that, because you're going to quit talking to me. So in those quiet times, when a fish ain't biting, this
so
ain't moving.
You're telling me God is keeping you from catching fish just so you'll talk to him for a while? Is that, now I may be wrong, mind you, I'm the fish and you're the God.
Yeah,
but I'm sitting here thinking to myself, now wait a minute here, I'm gonna go back to God as a sense of humor.
You know, he does have a serious sense of humor. I hear this a lot. You know, pastor, I've been praying for patience. Don't ever pray for that one, because you're going to find reasons to be patient. He's going to put you at a stoplight, every single stoplight in town. He's going to put you in bad traffic, or he's going to put you on a boat and your fish ain't biting. And, you know, it's all about being patient. And I'll sit there and I'll pray. I'll talk to God. I'll talk to my dad, you know, the doctor.
Okay, now I'm going to put you in the spot.
Yeah.
What you've been doing this a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, since you were a little kid.
That's right.
Now, Alex, when she's out there, she's got to have her reel lined up so the bail is directly underneath the rod, and or she's not going to get a bite. Now, what's your favorite prayer? What's the thing that when you're down to that last shot, you need to catch a fish, what's your prayer?
Father, if it be your will, let it be done. I'm good with whatever you give me. If you're going to give me a fish, great. If not, that's okay too, Father, because I'm really out here to spend time with you. And, you know, that's the most amazing part about it. We catch so much fish. We go 4 to 5 times a week.
Yeah, I was sitting here, and I'm hoping for, okay, God. You know, I'm thinking there's got to be some back and forth here. Come on, God. I'm down here, buddy, you know.
All right, now what you're asking is, this is our third day out, we hadn't gotten that big one, all right? Now, that's not fair. Because, all right, on those little prayers, it's like, Father, have you forgotten about us down here? You know, it's been a while since we had a grouper sandwich. You know, Dad's never caught anything bigger than 34 inches.
Really?
That's right. Now, that's his biggest grouper that we've ever landed. It's a big, fat bull.
It's grouper, yeah.
It is, but we want that big 40.
Yeah. Okay. Well, how else do we get here in life but wanting more?
That's right.
It's like me. I could be very satisfied. I have a very successful store. Yes, I've got a lot of amazing people in my life. I like doing these shows. And so now here we've got one. I've got some other shows started. Yeah. I own a syndication company. And am I making any money at it? Absolutely not. Am I having a great time? Absolutely.
And I like it. That's where God wants you to be at. He wants you to be happy right where you're at. And ultimately, he wants you to be glorifying him. So in those moments where you're not catching fish, praise him.
What you just told me is he wants you to be happy right where you're at. So you're sitting there not catching fish. Don't move the boat. I'm going against that one. I'm sorry. God wanted me to move. He's telling me, get out of there, Frank. That's the wrong spot today.
Well, usually you hear that after you move. He says, I told you to move 10 minutes ago. But most of the time, you know, when you're there, it's just all about having some fun with it, and that's what it's really all about. We're going to close up now, and it's been a good time. It's been great talking. I hope you learned something new about fishing. Let's say a word of prayer, and then we're going to get out of here. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for such a glorious time, as our time where our brothers and I got to spend together. And Father, we hope and pray that we've taught someone something new today, and maybe they can go and enjoy that fishing a little bit more. And Father, be with those that are in need. And your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.